Imagine for a second standing in front of like one of the greatest paintings ever created.
Okay.
The composition is flawless, the emotional weight is staggering, the brush strokes are just pure genius. It is, without a doubt, a verified masterpiece.
Yeah.
But there's a catch.
There's always a catch.
Right. You can only ever look at this painting through a really dirty, heavily smudged window.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, you are only allowed to blink exactly 30 times a minute while you do it.
Wow.
Yeah, any faster, and the room just goes completely dark.
I mean, that's just an incredibly restrictive way to engage with a piece of art. It fundamentally alters and arguably damages how you experience the creator's mission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you would think at some point over the years, someone would just, open the window so you could see it clearly.
Right. You'd certainly hope so.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. I'm thrilled to have you with us today as we tackle a mystery that has baffled people for over a decade. Our source material today is this staggering, incredibly detailed technical article from March 13th, 2026.
It's a massive piece of research.
It really is. It was published by the researchers at Tikkun Legen, and it's titled Unlocking Curam, a technical autopsy of Bloodborne on PC.
And honestly, autopsy is truly the most accurate word they could have used for this process.
Oh, absolutely. Our mission today is to uncover why one of gaming's absolute greatest masterpieces, 2015's Bloodborne, has been locked inside what the authors call a 30 FPS cage for 11 long years.
11 years is an eternity in tech.
It really is.
Yeah.
And more importantly, we are going to explore how the quantum level hardware of 2026 is finally breaking it out.
Finally.
So even if you've never held a controller in your life, or if you don't consider yourself a hardcore gamer, stick around because this deep dive is an incredible case study in technological bottlenecks.
Yeah, it's not just about games.
Right. Because what this research reveals is that software optimization, getting old code to talk to new machines, is often a much more grueling, brutal battlefield than actually engineering the physical hardware itself.
It's so true. To understand why this software is only just returning to us now in 2026, we first have to, well, we have to crack open the foundational code written back in 2015.
Yeah, go back to the source.
Exactly. We need to look at the engine's architecture to understand the core mechanism, and specifically why a developer couldn't just, open a configuration file and change a 30 to a 60.
Wait, I want to pause right there because that is the massive misconception I see everywhere online.
Oh, all the time.
People always assume there's just a switch somewhere in the code, like a literal 60 frames per second button that the studio is just refusing to press.
I wish it were that easy.
Right. But the Tekken Legion breakdown digs into the proprietary engine built by From Software, and it reveals this mechanism called hard-coded frame timing.
Right. And to understand why they did this, you really have to look at the constraints of the year 2015.
The old hardware.
Yeah. The PlayStation 4 used a processor with the Jaguar microarchitecture. By modern standards, that CPU was just incredibly weak.
It was struggling.
Very much so. The developers had to squeeze every single drop of processing power out of it just to render the incredibly dense gothic city of Yharnam. So, to save precious CPU cycles, they took a shortcut.
What kind of shortcut?
They tied the game's internal logic directly to the frame rate.
Meaning the physics, the enemy AI, and the animation speeds are all inextricably linked to a 30 frames per second tick rate.
Exactly.
So the actual flow of time itself in the game's universe is tied to that specific number.
Yeah, what's fascinating here is how absolute that mathematical link is. In modern game engines, developers use something called delta time.
Right, delta time.
It's a variable that measures the real-world time between frames. So it ensures that whether your computer renders 30 frames or 120 frames in a second, a character running across a room takes the exact same amount of real-world time to get there.
Which makes sense.
Right. But in this 2015 engine, delta time was a hard-coded constant. It just assumed a frame would always, without fail, take exactly 33.3 milliseconds to render.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's kind of like an old movie projector.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, if you take a reel of film from the 1920s and you simply speed up the physical projector crank, it doesn't magically turn into a modern, high-definition, smooth video.
No, not
It makes
optional.
everyone on screen run around like a frantic, sped-up glitch. You get like Charlie Chaplin on Fast Forward. And
Exactly.
in an experience that is famous for demanding absolute split-second precision, moving twice as fast means you'd be slaughtered by the enemies before your brain could even process the visual information.
That is a perfect way to visualize it. But the visual speed is only the surface level of the problem. It gets infinitely worse when you look at the customized Havok physics engine running under the hood.
Oh man, this is where the autopsy report gets genuinely wild. Because if you force the code to run faster, what actually happens to the physics?
The researchers describe it as a complete logical collapse.
Logical collapse.
Yeah, because the collision detection, you know, the math that calculates whether two objects are actually touching, is only checking for impacts every 33 milliseconds. So if you have that time to hit 60 frames per second, the collision check starts skipping beats.
Oh, wow.
Suddenly, objects start phasing through solid walls. Hitboxes, which are the invisible mathematical boundaries that determine if your sword actually hits a monster, they just fail to register entirely.
So you swing your weapon, and it just passes cleanly through the beast's ribcage as if it were a ghost.
Exactly like a ghost. And then the beast instantly kills you.
And it completely breaks the cloth physics too, right? Because the iconic hunter capes that flow in the wind are a huge part of the game's visual identity.
Oh, entirely broken. The cloth mesh tangles into this violent mathematical knot because the gravity and wind calculations are triggering twice as fast as the fabric was programmed to fall.
That sounds like a nightmare to fix.
It is. To fix this for a 2026 standardized PC port, developers can't just upscale the graphics. They have to literally hunt down and rewrite every single hard-coded constant in millions of lines of foundational code.
Millions of lines.
Yeah, they have to rip out the discrete frame-linked physics and inject a continuous frame-independent physics system. It is literal open-heart surgery on silicon.
Wow. So they rewrite the flow of time. Great. But now the game has to actually render those new fast-moving frames, and that reveals a completely different bottleneck outlined in the data.
Right, because time is only half the battle.
Exactly. It's the physical space where the game stores its information.
Which brings us to the memory architecture trap.
Yeah, time is one dimension of the code's prison, but memory is the other. And it's equally complex to solve.
So the researchers point out that the game's memory management system was aggressively calibrated for one very specific machine, right? The PlayStation 4.
Very aggressively.
That console used a unified 8GB GDDR5 memory architecture.
Yeah.
Back in 2015, the creator, Hidetaka Miyazaki, and his development team, they just never anticipated their code running on a modern 2026 PC beast.
Not in a million years.
Like, if you were listening to this right now in a modern gaming rig, you might have something like an RTX 5090 graphics card with 28GB of VRAM. Which logically sounds like it should be a massive advantage. I mean, you have an ocean of memory compared to a puddle.
Right.
But in legacy software, having that much disjointed power is actually a critical hurdle.
Okay, I really want to push back on this because I know what you, the listener, might be thinking right now.
Sure.
If modern 2026 PCs are so ridiculously, overwhelmingly powerful, why can't they just brute force their way through an 11-year-old memory system?
Mm.
Like, why does having too much power cause the game to crash?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it all comes down to a fundamental language barrier between legacy console software and modern PC hardware ecosystems.
The language barrier.
Yeah. The PS4 was a closed, unified box. That 8GB of memory was a single shared pool. The central processor and the graphics processor could reach into the exact same bucket of data simultaneously without asking for permission.
Oh, I see. Well, a PC in 2026 is a highly fragmented ecosystem. You have your system RAM over on the motherboard, and your VRAM is completely separated over on the graphics card.
Exactly. And they communicate across a data highway called the PCIe bus. The original 2015 engine simply does not know how to speak the language of a modern PC.
Because it's used to the unified pool.
Right. It doesn't know how to request data transfers across that highway. It crashes because it's constantly looking for a unified bucket of memory that simply does not exist on a PC motherboard.
Okay, let's use an analogy here. It's like having a hyper-efficient chef who has only ever cooked in one specific tiny kitchen.
I like where this is going.
In that kitchen, all the ingredients are laid out on one giant unified counter. The chef can grab tomatoes and onions without even looking.
Right, muscle memory.
Exactly. Now, you suddenly drop that same chef into a massive state-of-the-art 2026 commercial kitchen. But here, the vegetables are in a walk-in fridge down the hall, and the spices are in a separate pantry.
And they just panic.
Yeah. Even though the new kitchen is objectively better, the chef completely freezes. They keep reaching for a counter that isn't there, and dinner never gets made.
That is precisely what is happening inside the processor. And the challenge for the developers isn't just stopping the chef from freezing. It's retraining them to cook a Michelin star meal in the new kitchen.
Which means completely changing the underlying logic.
The developers have to fundamentally re-engineer the entire asset streaming system.
Which means changing how the game actually loads the physical world of Yharnam around the player, right?
Correct. In 2015, they had to hide their loading times behind long elevator rides or massive doors.
Oh, yeah. The notorious elevator routes.
We all remember them. Today, they have to translate that unified memory logic into a format that modern PCs can stream dynamically.
Right.
They have to leverage Gen 5 NVMe SSDs, which, you know, can read gigabytes of data in a fraction of a second, to load the high-resolution textures into the graphics card perfectly as you run through the world. It completely eliminates the original, notoriously long loading screens.
So if a development team actually manages to pull this off, if they perform the open heart surgery to fix the flow of time, and they re-engineer the entire memory architecture so the game doesn't panic on a modern PC, you really start to realize the sheer massive scale of this project.
It's unbelievable.
Which shifts our entire question. We know the how now, but the burning question is why now?
Why 2026?
Right. Why has Sony waited 11 long years to authorize this operation?
It is a brilliant question, and the answer is rooted in corporate strategy and macroeconomics rather than just raw technology.
The Tech and Legion researchers dive really deep into the business side of this mystery. Because for years, Hidetaka Miyazaki, the visionary creator of the game, has been absolutely silent.
Yeah, barely a word.
He's hinted in interviews at his deep affection for the property, but he is legally shackled. Sony Interactive Entertainment holds the master keys to the intellectual property.
They own it completely.
Yeah. Miyazaki literally cannot open the gates back to Yharnam without a green light from executives in Tokyo.
And the leaked 2026 think tank data included in the autopsy report explains exactly what form that green light took.
It's not just a patch.
No, Sony isn't financing a simple remaster. They aren't just upping the resolution. They are executing a full remake.
Codename Project Velvet.
Yes. And they've handed the reins to Bluepoint Games, a studio the researchers refer to as the surgical remake experts.
They did Demon's Souls, right?
They did.
Yeah.
This is an incredibly calculated move. Sony is positioning this rebuilt masterpiece as the crown jewel launch title for the PlayStation 6 in late 2026.
So what does this all mean? It means this game is no longer just a beloved, critically acclaimed piece of gothic horror art.
No, it's bigger than that.
It is mutated into a strategic asset. This single piece of legacy software is dictating the massive corporate launch of next-generation hardware.
They are following a very patient playbook.
Yeah.
If you look back, they're replicating their exact success model from the PS5 launch, where they used the stunning remake of Demon's Souls to sell the console.
It worked brilliantly then.
It really did. So Sony waited patiently for a very specific level of technological maturity to arrive. They waited until they could offer a version of this world that was physically, mathematically impossible to simulate on the PlayStation 4.
But wait, the report highlights a massive twist here.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the realities of the 2026 hardware market, specifically the 200-meter silicon revolution.
Yeah, this is where the economics get really difficult for console manufacturers.
Because it's so expensive.
Incredibly expensive. Building chips using a 2-nanometer fabrication process means the transistors are approaching the size of a few atoms.
That's wild.
You are dealing with quantum tunneling effects and incredibly complex, extreme ultraviolet lithography machines that cost hundreds of millions of dollars each.
Meaning the manufacturing yields are tight, and the actual APU chip inside the new PlayStation 6 is just astronomically expensive to produce.
Exactly. Because of those extreme supply chain constraints and sheer R&D costs, manufacturing the PS6 hardware is so expensive that Sony cannot possibly turn a profit just by selling the plastic box.
They lose money on every unit.
Absolutely. So to ensure the financial viability of their entire next generation launch, they are forced to rely on a simultaneous multi-platform release strategy.
Wow. They can't just keep the game locked to the PlayStation 6 to drive hardware sales. They absolutely have to launch it on the PC platform on day one just to recoup those massive 2-millimeter silica costs.
Which brings this entire technological saga full circle.
Yeah.
The brutal economic reality of 2026 hardware manufacturing is what finally forced Sony's hand, is the only reason they funded the monumental task of solving the 11-year-old PC porting curse.
It's just wild to think about when you step back. Like, The complex economics of microscopic silicon wafers are what finally unlocked this artistic masterpiece for the rest of the world.
It's strangely poetic.
It really is. So now that Sony has the bleeding-edge technology, they have the specialized surgical team at Blue Point, and they have the urgent, undeniable financial motive, what does this completely rebuilt game actually look and play like in 2026?
This is where the technical autopsy moves from diagnosing the past to simulating the future. The researchers provide simulated benchmarks for how this entirely rebuilt engine runs on the Blackwell architecture of an RTX 5090.
And the numbers they pulled are staggering. We are talking about 8K resolution, running with DLSS4 AI upscaling, hitting a locked 110 frames per second.
Just ridiculous performance.
Or if you drop the resolution down to 4K with DLSS4, it's pushing past 240 frames per second.
Yeah.
Think about that. Okay. We started this deep dive talking about a game that literally suffered a logical collapse if it went one frame over 30.
It is a monumental leap. But, you know, raw speed and pixel counts are only a fraction of the story.
Right.
The entire rendering pipeline has been transformed from the ground up. The 2015 original utilized rasterization, which meant the shadows were largely static and baked in.
They didn't move.
No. The lighting didn't actually follow the laws of physics. It was essentially painted on by the developers to look moody.
But the 2026 version utilizes full path tracing and AI reconstruction.
This is crucial. Path tracing means the engine is simulating actual physics.
Okay.
It is firing millions of invisible rays from every single light source in the game, calculating exactly how those photons bounce off cobblestones, react to different fabrics, and cast shadows in real time.
Meaning every single element, from the swinging lantern your character holds, to the flickering torches held by the terrified mobs in the street, to the moonlight breaking through the clouds, it all generates a dynamic, physically accurate shadow.
What's fascinating here is how perfectly suited this specific aesthetic is for path tracing.
Oh, because of the gothic horror vibe.
Exactly. This is a universe built entirely on the stark, terrifying contrast between light and dark. Implementing real-time dynamic shadows elevates this from a simple graphical update to a true 2026 technical benchmark. And they are combining that lighting with the technique called subsurface scattering,
which honestly blew my mind when I read the report.
It's a game changer.
They mentioned that the blood and metal materials in the game use subsurface scattering, which means light doesn't just bounce off objects, it physically scatters through elements.
Like real life.
Yeah, like the thick volumetric fog rolling through the streets, or individual physics-driven blood droplets reacting to the moonlight.
It creates a level of visceral physical realism that fundamentally changes the atmospheric tension of the experience. But interestingly enough, the visual overhaul isn't even the most surprising revelation in the data.
Not even close. Here's where it gets really interesting. The data miners who cracked open the original 2015 game disc for this autopsy uncovered what they call ghost scripts.
Ghost scripts?
Yeah. These are hundreds of lines of orphaned, abandoned code hidden deep within the files that refer to cut content.
Stuff that never made it to the final game.
Exactly. We are talking about massive bosses and entire geographical zones, like a fully realized area called the Lower Canehurst Catacombs, that were fully modeled in the early alpha builds, but had to be completely removed before launch.
And they were removed specifically because they failed the PlayStation 4's performance stress tests.
The hardware just couldn't do it.
The console simply didn't have the memory to stream those massive underground architectures without crashing the system.
I found this so profound. The physical hardware limitations of a plastic box in 2015 literally dictated the lore, the map, and the narrative geography of the final story.
It forced the artist to compromise.
Yes. But in this 2026 remake, because of the Gen 5 SSDs and modern memory we talked about earlier, those ghost scripts are expected to be fully restored and playable.
It's a beautiful concept, really. It is the restoration of the artist's original uncompromised intent, enabled entirely by a decade of steady technological progress.
It really is.
And Blue Point is applying that exact same modernizing philosophy to the multiplayer architecture.
Ah, yes, the infamous old Bell system. If you played the original, you remember how painful this was.
Very painful. The original release relied on a very cumbersome peer-to-peer system. You essentially rang an in-game bell and just stood there, hoping the network could navigate various NAT types and router firewalls to connect you to another player.
And it rarely worked well.
No, it was laggy, unreliable, and prone to disconnects. The Tekken Legion source notes that the multiplayer backend is being entirely rewritten.
Right, because they are dropping the peer-to-peer model and leveraging Sony's dedicated cloud infrastructure.
Finally.
Yeah, they're implementing ultra-low latency networking, which means player versus player combat will now occur with millisecond precision. It completely eliminates the phantom hits where you thought you dodged a sword but took the damage anyway.
Because in the modern era of 2026, network stability and tick rate are just as critical to a hardcore precision gaming experience as raw graphical power.
Absolutely.
Though the researchers do flag one final massive hurdle.
The mobile market.
Yes. Taking all of this, the 8K textures, the physics-driven path tracing, the restored catacombs, the continuous physics system, and optimizing it to run on the architecture of 2026 handhelds.
Like a Steam Deck 2 or an ROG Ally 2.
Exactly. Getting an experience this incredibly heavy to run on a battery-powered device is going to be Sony's greatest technical hurdle for total multi-platform dominance.
It is an absolutely massive leap. I mean, we have tracked a journey from a masterpiece imprisoned in a stuttering 30PS cage, built on discrete, hard-coded physics that collapsed, if you looked at them funny, to a multi-platform 2026 behemoth dictating the global launch of the PlayStation 6.
It's quite the evolution.
It is. And what this all shows us is that bringing something into the future isn't just about turning up a resolution dial. It requires fundamentally rewriting the very laws of physics, time, and memory within the code itself.
It does. And looking at all this restored content, the uncompromised vision finally seeing the light of day, it raises an important question to leave everyone with.
I love these. Lay it on us.
We just spent this entire time talking about how the hardware constraints of 2015 literally dictated the lore of Yharnam forcing Miyazaki to cut out entire catacombs and rewrite his universe to fit inside 8 gigabytes of memory.
Right.
So if hardware limits shape the art, what incredible sweeping ideas, what brilliant mechanics and future lore are today's developers cutting right now in 2026?
Oh, wow.
What hidden worlds are we losing today simply because the unreleased PlayStation 6 still isn't powerful enough to simulate them? It makes you wonder what ghost scripts we are creating right now, waiting to be found in another autopsy a decade from today.